It's now 2 o'clock, and this is Captain Rick reporting. I'll be reading from the Wednesday, August 8th edition of the Decatur Herald and Review. The first article looks like a fun one. It's entitled, Coming Together for Fun. Park District City Join Forces for Annual Neighborhood Event by Jalen Cook, Decatur. Tuesday night was the second time that young Darrell Fox had ever touched a snake, courtesy of the Scoville Mobile Zoo. The zoo brought a cavalcade of creatures, including the boa constrictor, for people of all ages to look at during National Night Out at Hess Park. The free event invited Decatur residents to mingle with each other, law enforcement, and city officials, as well as a chance to participate in a packed slate of activities. While he wasn't afraid of the snake, 11-year-old Darrell said he was surprised at how its skin felt. It didn't feel how I wanted it to, he said, clutching a tiger's blood snow cone that he had been sipping. It felt smooth. I thought it was going to feel rough and scaly and slimy. National Night Out is an annual event aimed at strengthening neighborhoods and crime prevention. Thousands of cities participate annually in the nationwide event, which allows neighbors to get to know each other and city leaders in a relaxed setting. Police, sheriff's deputies, and firefighters are regular attendees, often handing out small prizes, like stickers and pencils, and taking part in games like gunny sack races. A new aspect of this year's event was the addition of the Lantern Parade, an 82-year-old Decatur Park District tradition. The events are typically held around the same time in August, but organizers decided to try combining them into one. Patty Hayes, Darrell's great-grandmother, brought him and her other great-grandchildren, Melania Hayes, 6, and 8-year-old Jaden Hall, to the park after reading about the event last week. They had never been to National Night Out before, the elder Hayes said, but she thought it sounded like a safe, fun thing to do. It's very positive, Patty Hayes said of the event's potential impact on police and community relations. The kids get used to the police or the fire department. A lot of people make it feel like they've got to be scared of the police. This, right here, lets them know they don't have to be. Throughout the night, several hundreds of people who came to the event got their fill of food, music, and hearty conversation. Other activities included face painting, a magic act, and a visit from the Mr. Softy ice cream truck. Decatur School District Superintendent Paul Frugot and other district staff and administrators were this year's targets in the event's dunk tank, which raised money for the Coalition of Neighborhood Organizations, the umbrella organization for Decatur neighborhood groups. Rochelle Irons, the city's director of neighborhood services, said events like National Nights Out provide people a social outlet that seems to be missing these days. I think that it's so important for folks to get out to know each other, Irons said. In the age of social media, it's easy to hide behind a phone or a computer, so face-to-face contact is good. Phyllis Bowie feels the same way. Bowie, 52, just started her second year as a Decatur Park leader. Park leaders oversee all activities within the Park District's summer program, which also includes the district's free lunch program. The Lantern Parade has traditionally served a celebration to mark the end of the summer program. Donning a yellow hat, a trademark for all park leaders, Bowie manned a table where kids and adults could learn how to make lanterns for the parade. When the sun set at the park, the lanterns were lit up and people made their way on a serpentine parade route. Some children rely on the Park District summer program because it provides a free meal and something for them to do on a hot summer day, Bowie said. The sound and sights of watching the kids play in the parks, as opposed to being involved in potentially dangerous activities, are boys' favorite things about being a park leader. Kids laughing and playing, said Boy, who served as park leader at Garfield Park near the city's west side. I love that sound. One young visitor who made a lantern on Tuesday was Sterling Elsie. He said that Boy cut the triangular pattern that surrounded his black lantern as his dad Tyler stood nearby. Tyler Elsie said he was a fan how the event brought such a diverse group of people within the city together in one place. This is a good way to intermingle everybody in a very uplifting atmosphere with all the children's activities and all that, he said. It's very family focused regardless of where you're coming from. City Police Chief Jim Getz said he also looks forward to the opportunity for him and his officers to interact with the people they serve. He said getting to do things like teaming up with the child to run the sack race or having a friendly conversation with someone allows the public to see them as a regular person instead of an authority figure. Getz also said the same goes for recurring events like Coffee with a Cop, which the department will hold this morning from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. at the Decatur Family YMCA, 220 West McKinley Avenue. I'm just here to fill in like everybody else, Getz said. My officers are coming out here and having a good time and mixing with the kids, and the adults are having fun. It's a good time. There are two pictures associated with this article. The first shows a man in uniform. He's got a badge. He's got some ammunition clips on his belt. He's got a microphone clipped to his collar. And he's got what at first appeared to be a rope around his neck, but it's not. It's a hula hoop. And he's swinging it around his neck, and it's right at his throat, and he's got his head back. And I'm not sure he looks comfortable. Beside him is about an 8 to 10 year old girl stooped down. Her face is painted. She's got a pink bulge of some kind in her hair, and she is laughing at this officer. The caption reads, 10-year-old Inaya Hicks left, laughs with Macon County Corrections Officer Corey Maloney during a hula hoop contest at National Night Out in Hess Park. The event aims to help communities form stronger bonds with law enforcement and city leaders. The next picture shows an even younger boy with his face painted kind of like a warrior. He's getting ready to hurl a ball. The caption reads, Davis Dodson, 7, throws a ball in an attempt to dunk Decatur Park Board member Kendall Briscoe. Proceeds from the dunk tank provide funding for the Coalition of Neighborhood Organizations, which oversees Decatur Neighborhood Group. The next article is about a Decatur business. It's entitled, Supporters Save Our Kroger. Shoppers rally to show neighborhoods love for departing grocery store. Ryan Boyles. Decatur. The Fairview Plaza Kroger has always been a part of Mary Richardson's life. Richardson said she can remember as a child going there on Thursdays with her father when he got off work. As she got older and had her own family, Richardson said Kroger was her one-stop shop for most of their needs, from groceries to gas. They probably get 3/4 of my paycheck, she said. Richardson was among those who were surprised and disappointed by the announcement last week from the Kroger company that it would not renew its expiring lease at the store, 1401 West King Street, citing a lack of profitability. The store is set to close at the end of the month, so Richardson joined her daughter and nearly 100 others at the Fairview Kroger store on Tuesday evening to show their support for the grocery store and to possibly convince Kroger officials to reconsider its decision. With signs expressing their love for the store and a soundtrack that combines supportive car horns with chants of "Don't shut it down" and "Save our Kroger," the rally felt like a party to honor the store, which has been the anchor tenant at Fairview Plaza since it opened in 1958. Aaron Halverson, manager of corporate affairs for Kroger's Central Division, said in an email that the Decatur rally represents the personal connection that develops between shoppers, employees, and the stores. The company appreciated the spirit that inspired the gathering, he said. We have great respect for the message of the rally, he said. We can't fault anyone for wanting to save the store. Halverson said the rally likely encouraged the Kroger employees and reminded them how much their work was valued by customers, a sentiment which he said the corporate office agreed. The Fairview closure affects 95 employees, which Kroger said would be assisted by its human resources department to find positions at other Decatur Kroger stores, which are located in Brentwood Village, Airport Plaza on the city's east side, and South Shores Plaza. The rally was the brainchild of Abby McIntosh and Rochelle Boleen, who, despite never meeting in person until Tuesday, connected on Facebook and helped organize the event. McIntosh said she and her family bought a home in the West End neighborhood 4 years ago. A major factor in choosing their home was its close proximity to Kroger and its selection of produce and organic food, she said. With Kroger's closure for just over 3 weeks from now, McIntosh said it feels like a major loss for all those who live, work, and spend time on the West End. Millikan students depend on it for first jobs, and the whole West End and surrounding area depend on it, she said. So it kind of sparked this effort to see if we could fight for it. Boleen said she worries about the students, but also those senior citizens and other adults with disabilities in the area who may not have access to vehicles of transportation. We're just really upset that the store is closing. They've got awesome employees here. We know them by name, she said. We just hate to see it go. The closest Kroger grocery store in the area is the Save-A-Lot about a mile north of Fairview Plaza. Several people at the rally said they did not see that as a viable substitute, with McIntosh saying it lacks the options of Kroger and is not as easily reachable for Millikan students. Several people at the rally said the store always seemed busy when they were there and questioned whether or not Kroger was truthful in saying the store was losing money. Many on social media speculated that a high theft rate at the store may have led to the closure. Halverson said in an email Tuesday evening after the rally that profit margins are tiny in the grocery industry. A busy store is not necessarily a profitable store, he said. Halverson also said He never heard a reference to the theft in any of the discussions he attended about the store. The losses are bigger than anything related to stolen goods, he said. Even if Kroger continues with steps to close the location, McIntosh said she hoped community support would convince another grocery chain to move into the vacated space. Tim Raycraft of Main Place Properties, which owns Fairview Plaza, said this week that the company had tried to work with Kroger to keep the grocery store open. Despite cordial discussions, Kroger never provided a dollar amount that would have caused it to renew the lease, he said. Raycraft said Main Place is searching for another tenant to fill the space of Kroger and also convey Health Solutions Incorporated, which said last week that it would close its call center in September. That announcement affects 150 employees. Among the Kroger supporters at the rally was Charles Young, who continuously waved and gave thumbs up to drivers who honked in support, saying later that the good vibes from the event made him want to just keep smiling and wave. Young, who has lived in the neighborhood for 12 years, said he was heartbroken when he heard the news about the closure, adding that about 90% of his necessities are purchased at the store. His first step was to find out who he could call at Kroger to urge them to reconsider. When he heard about the rally at 5 p.m. Tuesday, Young said he immediately got to work on a sign showing support for Kroger. "Kroger has been here for me for a long time," he said. "I need Kroger, and I think Kroger needs me." Police led on slow speed chase. 2-hour pursuit ends with driver being subdued with stun gun. By Tony Reed. Decatur. A bizarre slow speed police pursuit through Decatur on Tuesday afternoon ended after nearly 2 hours, with officers having to use a stun gun on the driver before he could be arrested, according to a news release from the Macon County Sheriff's Office. In the release, Lieutenant Jamie Belcher said the male driver, who was finally stopped in the 600 block of East Wood Street after police punctured his car tires, was escorted to a local hospital for a mental health evaluation. He was also booked on preliminary charges of driving under the influence of drugs, aggravated driving under the influence of drugs, felony driving while license revoked, and various other traffic offenses. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. Belcher said the incident unfolded about noon when a sheriff's deputy stopped the driver's car on Illinois 121 near Park Road, northwest of Decatur. Belcher said the man told the deputy that he had someone in the trunk of the car, which wasn't true, and made other odd statements before saying he had to leave and driving off. With the deputy now in pursuit, the man headed north into Warrensburg and then drove toward Decatur, where the chase was joined by members of the Decatur Police Crimes Unit. Belcher said the pursuit was so slow at certain points that pursuing officers were able to hold conversations with the driver, who repeatedly refused to pull over. In those conversations, the driver made indications to officers that he was armed and he was willing to inflict harm to himself or force others to shoot him before being arrested, Belcher said. At one point, the driver threw a knife out of the vehicle that was recovered by officers. Police attempted to deploy spike strips to dismantle the vehicle by puncturing its tires, but Belcher said the man drove off the roadway through yards to avoid them. At approximately 1:55 p.m., officers with Decatur Police Department were able to successfully deploy Spike strips on the vehicle in the 600 block of East Wood Street, Belcher said. The suspect continued to drive the disabled vehicle until coming to a stop in a parking lot at the corner of East Wood and South Jasper Streets. Stun guns were used when the driver still refused to comply with orders during his arrest, Belcher said. Report: Man attacked girlfriend. Police say woman was raped, choked, and threatened with scissors. Again by Tony Reed. Decatur. Police said a Decatur man has been arrested after he choked and raped his live-in girlfriend while threatening to stab her to death with a pair of scissors. Lamont D. Wright, 30, was jailed on preliminary charges of aggravated domestic battery involving strangulation, aggravated battery inflicting serious injury, aggravated criminal sexual assault, committing domestic battery while having a prior domestic battery conviction, and aggravated assault involving criminal damage. He was also booked on a charge of resisting police peace officers. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. A sworn police affidavit from Officer Adam Seifman said the 34-year-old woman, who has an infant child with Wright, said she was attacked in their Decatur home Friday night after an argument escalated. Seifman said the girlfriend told police Wright started punching and slapping her multiple times all over her body before locking his arms around her throat and choking her. After grabbing the 7-inch pair of scissors and threatening to stab her in the throat, Seifman said the terrified woman was forced to perform sex acts. Wright is described in the affidavit as then ordering the woman to take her underwear off before raping her while she feared for her life. Decatur Police Department officers observed multiple purple, red, bluish, pink contusions on her face, arms, neck, and varying from in size from 1 inch to 10 inches in diameter, Seifman said. The woman was later treated at HS St. Mary's Hospital, where a doctor told police she had suffered a fractured finger on her right hand, police said. Seifman said Wright was arrested, but refused to go quietly, later punching a wall at Decatur Police Headquarters and having to be carried to a squad car for transportation to the Macon County Jail. Wright remains jailed Tuesday night in lieu of $250,000 bond. If he makes bail, he is ordered to stay away from his girlfriend and their home. Worker sues to get IDOT jobs back. Workers sue. Group alleges Rauner administration's action were political. By Doug Finke of the State Journal Register. Springfield. Eight former state workers are suing the Rauner administration, saying they lost their jobs for political reasons. All eight employees were laid off from the Illinois Department of Transportation and were among those Governor Bruce Rauner said were illegally hired patronage workers under previously Democratic governors. When the eight were laid off in 2017, the administration said it was partly a case of cleaning up past hiring mistakes and personnel practices. The employees, represented by Springfield attorneys Don Craven and Carl Draper, want their jobs back, as well as lost wages and benefits. The lawsuit was filed in federal court in Springfield Friday. Plaintiffs in the case are Melissa Shave, Mason McDaniel, Cindy Houlihan, Tim Hendrickson, Marianne Hankins, Kristen Chero, Patty Ambrose, and Asuro Rivas. Most of them worked in IDOT's Traffic Safety Division. On April 21, 2017, all of them were reassigned to IDOT's headquarters in Springfield. Still, they continued to do the same work, and none was given a different job description. The lawsuit said all of them continued to receive at least acceptable job evaluations until July 12, 2017, when all of them were notified that they were being laid off because there wasn't enough work for them to perform. The assertion that each plaintiff was laid off for lack of work is a pretense to terminate them, the lawsuit says. The real reason for the termination of these plaintiffs was that they were employed by the prior administration under then Governor Patrick Quinn, who was a member of the Democratic Party, or that they refused to become affiliated with the Rauner administration. The lawsuit contends the layoffs are part of a deliberate attempt to deprive the plaintiffs of their employment in retaliation for not being supporters of Governor Bruce Rauner and the Republican Party. The Executive Inspector General issued a report in 2014 that found staff assistants at IDOT were illegally hired and then moved into positions that were protected from patronage firings or were given jobs to do that had no connection to their job descriptions. The Rauner administration did not respond to a request for comment on the lawsuit. Phone Scam Targets Seniors by Jalen Cook, Decatur. Senior citizens are being targeted by a telephone scam that aims to trick them into sharing personal information with the caller, the Macon County State's Attorney's Office said Tuesday. State's Attorney Jay Scott said in a news release that the scam calls claim that illegal activity has been detected on the person's Social Security account. The caller will threaten legal action, disruption of Social Security benefits, or freezing assets if immediate action isn't taken, Scott said. Sharing a personal identifying number, such as a Social Security number, can lead to identity theft, Scott said. The state's attorney's office has received several reports of the scam in the past few days. People who receive the scam calls are encouraged to hang up and to ignore any answering machine messages that demand a return call, Scott said. He also said that personal information should never be provided to unknown sources over the telephone. Any suspected scams should be reported to the Elder Fraud Hotline at 217-615-7582. All calls made to the line are answered by Scott. Witnesses, Dad Punched Son this is an H&R staff report, Decatur. A Decatur father was booked on domestic battery charges Sunday after witnesses told police they had seen him repeatedly punching his 10-year-old son. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police said the child was attacked at an apartment around 1 a.m. The affidavit quoted several witnesses who said the 40-year-old man held the boy by the neck while showering his back and side with numerous punches. His father was booked on preliminary charge of committing domestic battery while having three previous convictions for the same offense. And that's the end of part one. I'll be back with part two after the break.